Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. Purport. Maharaj Pariksit's question as to how a living entity began his material life, although he is apart from the material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but he is absorbed in such a material conception because he has been influenced by the external energy of the Lord called Atmamaya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vyasadeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord. And the living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord in being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15, also the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living entity, and all the living entity's consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. Now, the next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness. The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as a part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord. Although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification. When the living entity desires to become a lord himself, he is put in a condition of dreaming that he is a king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become a lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia, where he may become one like the Lord. The child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as a kami. And to give up this, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. I'll read that again. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as kami, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atmamaya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity in his material condition is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of his material body as I, or falsely thinks that he is the Lord and that everything in connection with that material body is mine. Thus, only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist life after life. This continues life after life as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. In his pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream. And in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the Lord, but that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. Om Jnana Timiram Dasya Jnanam Jada Sadakaya Chakshurum Militam Dena Tasmae Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahi Tadaktisva Padantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Bangum Namgayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatari. So, how is it that the pure consciousness, the pure living entity, is influenced by the material energy? How is it?
It's like a dream. It's like a dream.
It is like a dream.
First he wants to enjoy. And
yes.
The Lord, by his will, he arranges such that the Maya acts upon the living entity.
Yes. Yes. So under whose arrangement is the living entity conditioned? There are two elements or two factors in the conditioning of the spirit soul, who are they? The modes of material nature weren't mentioned in this purport. Well, that's not wrong. Atma Maya. What's Atma Maya? The material energy. Under whose control?
Krishna.
Yeah, two personalities involved. Daivi Yeshu Gunamani Mai Mama Maya Duratjaya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity is under the control of the divine energy, Atma Maya. His energy, his potency, his power, his force. So, it can be a bit of a puzzle. How to understand, in fact, when I was reading this verse the other day, I was trying to understand this point. How is the purely conscious spirit soul, the living entity, influenced by the material energy? And the answer is by the Lord's arrangement, by Krishna's arrangement. But as Prabhupada says, that then begs the question, how come Krishna wants us, or how come Krishna wants the living entities to be in ignorance? Right? If he's the well-wisher, what is it? Suridam Sarvabhutanam. If he's the well-wisher of everybody, then how come he wants the living entities to be in ignorance and suffer in the material world? Jamma mrityu jara vyadhi. Right? Birth, death, old age and disease. So if he's the well-wisher, how come he wants that? That's right. So the answer is given in the purport. Because we accepted this desire to become, what does Prabhupada say here? Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord. Right? The first sinful will. What does will mean? Will.
Desire.
Yes, when somebody writes a will, right? What are they doing? That's right. Letting everybody know what they want to do after they're dead. Right? Which is okay. That's a will. And, you know, we say, it will happen. Oh, that's a nice picture. will. So, sinful will means going against the will of Krishna. Right? When one desires to act independently of and outside of one's constitutional position, because Jivara Svarupa Nityara Krishna Das, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that our original pure position is to act as a servant of Krishna. That's our original position. And in that position, aham brahmasmi, we are actually as good as God. You know, we see in the pastimes of Krishna how Krishna's servants can sometimes be more powerful than him. Even better than God. Right? Mother Yashoda ties up Krishna to the grinding mortar. His friends, the cowherd boys, wrestle with him and sometimes defeat him. Right? And then they say to him, "Ah, what kind of a man are you? I've defeated you. Right? So now you have to carry me on your shoulders." Right? So then Krishna becomes a servant of his friends in a loving affection. So, you know, this sinful desire is when the living entity desires to take Krishna's position, which is not our natural or constitutional position. And as a result of that, because we have that illegal, I guess you could say, because it's against the law, the spiritual law, then we have to be covered over to think that we're something that we're not. But that's, you know, it has to be that with that inappropriate intention, with those inappropriate desires, we then voluntarily give up our original spiritual position. It's a puzzle why we would want to do that. But as Prabhupada says here, there is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. Right? Interestingly. Because the question might arise, why would we want to do such a thing? But this is the ignorance, the confusion, the illusion. And so in that state of consciousness then, one is covered. Not that Krishna wants it, but that we desired. And so, as Prabhupada points out here, just as a child cries for the moon, and when you see the moon in the sky, then you think, "Wow, what's that?" You know, it's been a challenge for many. You know, what's going on the moon? Let's go there. Let's possess it. Let's have it. Let's experience it. So, not possible. Not possible for a child to have the moon. So therefore, the mother gives the child a mirror and he can hold the moon in his, well, at least a reflection of the moon. And so similarly also the example given, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And so therefore it has variety, it has enjoyment. There is personality, there's engagement, there's interaction, there's fun, if you like, in the material world. But because it's a perverted reflection, it also has the inebrieties of birth, death, old age and disease and all of the other. You know, it's a reflection. My favourite example is, you know, you can look at the reflection, your reflection in the mirror. Right? And it looks like you. It looks like a real person. But if you try to have a relationship with the person in the mirror, it's not possible. Right? It's just cold glass. You can't hug it, kiss it. You know, it's just... It It's not actually us. Although, you know, when I was a kid, we used to go to Adelaide on our holidays, and we'd inevitably end up in David Jones or Meyer. Or Meyer, actually. But one of the interesting things in, I can't remember which one it was, they had these mirrors in the menswear department, or the boys' wear, and you could go there and stand in a mirror, and the mirror makes you look, you know, funny, half your middle all goes wavy, or you're fat in one, and then you go to the next one, you're really skinny, right? And you stand in front of the mirror and do funny things with your legs and stuff, and it goes. I think it's there to keep the kids entertained while parents are spending money. But the material energy is such a perverted reflection, and this mirror, that it's like a mirror of the spiritual world, but it's not the reality. It's distorted. Everything is distorted. And so there's always that promise of pleasure as it exists in the spiritual world, which is what we want. But in order to, and we come into the material world with this desire to enjoy, but it has the detriment, or the benefit, if you like, of the pain and the suffering of material existence, that temporality. The beginning, the middle, and then the end, and then it all starting all over again. So, why the suffering? Well, the material energy has the thankless task of teaching us the futility of existence in the material world in order to rectify our consciousness and to bring it back to the pure state of consciousness. That's the material energy is like a teacher. And through the suffering and the disappointment and the embarrassment and the disgrace of material existence, gradually the living entity becomes frustrated with material existence. This I and mine. The I and mine is this illusion. Actually, it is not mine, it belongs to Krishna. That's the proper consciousness, is to see everything in relationship with Krishna. When we see the material energy, rather than looking at the material energy and meditating on it as a source of our pleasure, we should look on it as a source of Krishna's pleasure. In other words, everything should be seen in its relationship with Krishna. And then if we see everything external, if you like, in relationship with Krishna, that's perfected or purified by also seeing ourselves as a servant. One of the reasons why we chant Hare Krishna, to remind us, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your service. That's the pure state of consciousness of the living being. In the mood of I am mine, we see the material energy as if we are the Lord's, and it's meant for our enjoyment. Of course, only a short time in material existence should teach us very quickly that that's not the case. But this mentality, this sinful desire, is deeply rooted within the heart of us, or me, anyway. Maybe not you. So why we chant Hare Krishna regularly. You know, some days we wake up and we think, yes, I'm Krishna's servant. Then another day we wake up and we can't remember, we're not sure what we are. So we have to then chant again to remind us, purify us of who we are. So we're given, just as the child is given this reflection of the moon, as if to own or possess the moon, so simply we're given this perverted reflection of the spiritual world, along with the suffering, in order to help us overcome this false conception. Krishna doesn't want us to remain in material existence. He wants us back in the spiritual world. It is said more than we want it. And so Krishna sends the devotees to help us get out of this illusion, to help us cure this sinful will. Huh? The other example that Prabhupada gives here is of a person who thinks he wants to become the king, but he doesn't have the qualifications. If you don't have the qualifications, then there's no way that you can become the king, even if you desire it. And so therefore we're put in this dreaming state. We actually Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Within our hearts resides the eternal perfection of love of Godhead. That's natural to all of us. That's who we really are. But we're asleep to that identity. We're asleep to our original identity as a servant of Krishna, as a loving, affectionate servant of the Lord. We're asleep to that condition. It's like when you're asleep at night and you dream, you know, so many things. I remember I used to have a recurring dream when I was a young boy of flying. I used to be able to fly wherever I wanted to go. Well, then I had another recurring dream where I just came to the realization that I was standing with only my singlet on. And then I was trying to put my singlet down to cover myself. I was embarrassed because I didn't have any clothes on. I was like, how did I get like this? I was okay before. I was flying before, and now I'm standing with no clothes on. So, you know, I wasn't any of those things. I was lying in my bed, sleeping. So we're like that. We're asleep to our original spiritual position, and then we're doing all of these things, flying, travelling, cooking, whatever it is we're doing. Actually, the activities that we perform now and engaged in Krishna service are the same activities that we'll be performing in the spiritual world, so they're not actually a dream. That's actually training us to be reinstated in our spiritual position. Just like I came into the kitchen last night and I saw Gyana cooking at 9 o'clock. And then it occurred to me, in the spiritual world, Gyana could be an assistant of Radharani. Huh? Krishna. So the activities that we perform here in devotional service are actually not part of that dream world. But the dream world is going on outside. All of, you know, right now everybody's waking up or woken up, they're on their way to work and they're thinking, you know, I'm at this or I'm at that or I'm another thing. Completely absorbed in that consciousness. But that's just an illusory identity, just like me standing thinking that I'm just dressed in my singlet with no clothes on. It's just an illusion. Our Prabhupada says it's a daydream and a night dream. It's all a dream. And in that dream, we're given an opportunity to think we're the controller. But actually, we're not. We're controlled by the Atmamaya, by Krishna's material energy. The material energy works under Krishna's direction because we had that sinful desire to want to become God. And in this section of the Bhagavatam, next few verses, it's discussing this false identification, this false concept of I and mine. Next verse. So, you know, we want the spiritual world, we want everything to be perfect, and we want to enjoy it, but that's not our position. Our position is to enjoy, yes. We are enjoyers, being part and parcel of Krishna. It is our natural anandamaya vyasa, Prabhupada quotes the Vedic aphorism. We are pleasure seekers, but we derive our pleasure from seeing Krishna happy. Serving Krishna and serving the devotees, that makes Krishna happy. So, Krishna Savasya Chaham Ridhi Sani Vishtos, Prabhupada quotes this verse, 15:15. I am situated within the hearts of all living entities. So he knows, he's the Upadrashta and the Anumanta. Upadrashta, Upa means Upa means what? Yeah. It's interesting we have up. The word up. What does up mean?
Above.
Yeah, above. Up. Interesting. Up. So we have the Upadrashta, the overseer, basically it means the overseer. And the Anumanta, the Pamita, he's the Pamita. So he sees, Smriti Jnanam Apoanam Cha. From him come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So when we desire to act independently, then Krishna covers us over. But then when we meet the devotees, Krishna, by his energies, also his internal energy, the spiritual energy, as opposed to the material energy, both Krishna's energies, actually. But under the influence of the spiritual energy, then we meet the devotees, and the devotees remind us and inspire us to remember who we originally are and by that internal or that spiritual potency we are freed from the influence of the material energy. This is Krishna's mercy in the form of the devotees who represent that spiritual potency. This is why we offer our obeisances to the devotees. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha, kripa sindhubhya eva cha. They're an ocean of mercy. Kripa sindhu. Patitanam pavanebhyo. The saviors of the patita. Right? Is that right? Pavana means the saviour. Patita pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Why we respect and honour the Vaishnavas? Because they're the manifestations of Krishna's spiritual. They're the manifestations of Krishna's love and affection for us. And they remind us, Jeev Jago, wake up. Wake up, sleeping soul. Chant Hare Krishna. And so, you know, by Krishna's potency, he can cover us over so we forget by our desire. But then when that desire is reawakened to connect again with Krishna, then Krishna facilitates that, especially when one is frustrated. Of course, as I just mentioned, coming up, there's this tendency to reject everything and to then think that one is as good as God. Yes, we are as good as God when we're a servant of God. But this conception of I am God, this is another form of dreaming, another dream world that we create for ourselves. What is it? Tat Tvam Asi. I am that. Is that right? I am that. This is selfishness, you know, just because you see it, you think, oh, it exists because I see it. Therefore I created it. Therefore I must be God. And other odd theories or fashions. You know, very popular in the 60s and the 70s to think that one was God. Or you meet a holy man who press you on the forehead or something, then you'll see the light, then you'll realise that you're God. Or if you take LSD, same thing. But as Prabhupada says, God is not so cheap, not such a cheap thing. And in any case, God is God. You know, he doesn't become God. You don't become God. That's not possible. So, you know, by the mercy of the devotees, all of these confusions and dreamlike states are easily purified, eradicated, swept away through the association of the devotees. We're given the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we purify our consciousness and reclaim our lost identity. We're reawakened. So one day we'll wake up and we're not in the material world anymore, we're in the spiritual world. Actually, we already are in the spiritual world, we're just not fully aware of it yet. And that's why we go through that's why we practice, at least this stage, we practice devotional service, cooking for Krishna, cooking for the devotees is what we'll be doing in the spiritual world. Serving. We get an opportunity to address Krishna. We get an opportunity to decorate. We get an opportunity to participate in his Sankirtan pastimes. So we get an opportunity then to associate with Lord Chaitanya. Actually, we get the best of the two topmost dharms, if you like, of the spiritual world. We get Krishna Loka and what is it? Navadvip Dham, the realm of Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan party. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Some of them don't. But when the Lord performs his pastimes, then his some of his associates come with him. They still maintain their position in the spiritual world, but this is the potency of spiritual. The potency of spiritual existence is that you can be in more than one place at one time. Just like Krishna, he can be in more than one place at one time. As different personalities, even. Don't ask me how he does it. It's inconceivable. Although we're doing it in one sense, you know, we actually have our original position in the spiritual world, but we're now in the material world. Cultivating one's intelligence and understanding the symptoms of both. Right? This is the stage of anatta nivritti, whereby one removes or develops one's spiritual discriminatory powers so as to identify what is anatta. Anatta means that which is superfluous to us or not essential, and to understand the nature of the essential or the most important. So, you know, in the beginning of devotional service, the process of surrender, the first thing is to accept that. What is it? First word, anukulyasya-sampakalpa-one. Accept that which is favourable, reject that which is unfavourable. Right? So we need to know, you know, it's a science. Prabhupada says it's a science. So scientific means, like I was talking to Kiran last night when he helped me and I drove him home, and he was telling me that he's a scientist, and he works on cancer, the study of cancer, and in the tissues of the body, and we were just talking about it, and you know all the tissues of the body are divided up into various groups. Right? And so I was saying, look, it's very, you know, it's very detailed. because each one of them has a name. So, you know, scientific means to be very systematic in describing something or analysing something and knowing all of its components. So the process of devotional service is such that we have to be very analytical and be able to identify these subtle components of our personalities. Right. We want to accept the identity, or we want to uncover our original identity, and so therefore we have to discard or dispose of or detach ourselves from the false identification. So that's the stage of anatta nivritti. Nivritti means to be not be covered. Is that right? Nivritti. Not to be covered by inessential things, anattas. So how do we do that? We chant Hare Krishna. You know, when you chant Hare Krishna, then you can feel great enthusiasm and exuberance. Have you experienced that? Yeah. You chant Hare Krishna and you think, wow, this is fantastic. I'm not the body, I'm a spiritual soul, I'm Krishna's servant. Right? At least for a little while. Right? That's why the chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful. It's for everybody. That we can actually get this sense of, you know, when we chant free from distractions and we become absorbed in the Maha Mantra, we get strong confirmation. What is it? Dushyanti ja ramanti ja. Get satisfaction and pleasure from chanting Hare Krishna. So, no, that's a confirmation. But then we might become attached to things that are not, you know, there are. One of the process of, you know, Parikshit Maharaj was asking Sukadeva Goswami, what are the advantages and the disadvantages of performing devotional service? Right? So we need to understand, but there are also obstacles that will arise as a result of the performance of devotional service that we then need to navigate or negotiate in order to achieve the goal. So we need to be able to identify, and so anattas, which give rise to aparads, offences, right? So we need to identify what the offences are. This is why in the morning we chant the 10 offences. Right? To maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Well, there's a big one. Right? So understanding what material attachments are. We need to know that. And we need to know what causes the offences. And so that's looking then at the anattas. The attachments that we have. I want to be a big man. I want to be a happy wife. You know, whatever it is that we think is going to make us happy that's not. Well, at the same time as performing our vana and ashram, daily vana and ashram duty. So we need to understand our responsibilities. We need to understand our station in life. Was it brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, worker, businessman, administrator, brahmana, whatever, preacher, teacher. You know, we need to understand understand all of those roles, who we are, and then put ourselves in that position where we can be purified. So, work out what's favourable, work out what's unfavourable. Then what does Rupa Goswami say? I've mentioned this many times, but it's worth hearing and bearing. Then be prepared to accept things that you wouldn't ordinarily accept and give up things that you would like to keep. That's the hard part. Then the fun starts. So, you know, the process of devotional service was then what happens is that Krishna gets us and brings us all together in the Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir and then helps us do these things with each other. Right? And it's a bit like, you know, how they polished gems? You know how they polish gems? They go to rocks and they have like a cement mixer. And they put water in and they just turn it around and around and all the rocks bang against each other. And then gradually they all knock off their rough edges and they come out shiny polished gems from bouncing off each other. So this is the advantage of living in the association of the devotees. We get to help purify each other. By Krishna's arrangement, we should only see, you know, we might think, oh, it's the management, or it's my guru, or it's whatever. But actually behind all of this arrangement is Krishna, orchestrating our purification. When we hang on to material things, then we experience pain. When we release ourselves from those attachments and focus on serving Krishna, then we may feel some minor material discomfort, but actually we feel great pleasure in serving Krishna. So we shouldn't mistake the minor discomfort for, as an indicator of something that we shouldn't do. You know, one of the qualities of a brahmana, and even of human life, is tapasya. Some tapasya is required. Lord Brahma, what does Lord Brahma say? If you want to make progress in spiritual life, then there's a number of theistic conduct. What is it? Determination. And, you know, undergoing the fire of ordeal. You know what that is? The fire of ordeal. What's ordeal? Unpleasant experiences, yes. Tests. Ordeal means difficulty, some difficulty. Nobody likes it. Right, Maji.
What you said is true, but most of the characters, including Krishna, Krishna, Devotee, Thakur, then we have to depend on causes, mercy, and compassion.
Yes.
Without that, we can do any effort.
Yeah.
We can break our head again. Still, we won't get it.
Yeah. Yes, most of all, we depend on Krishna's mercy. Very good. Okay, we should finish here. Kantarajana Bhagavatam, Kijai Sandra Bhagavad, Kijai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda Kijai.
coder I've seen after I came in Ashram.
Yeah, well, I get a fair bit of use here.
I don't know how to turn this off now.
You know, it's recording our conversation while we're trying to work out how to do it. I'd say it was this one here.